In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From the Mount of Beatitudes, Jesus comes again to Capernaum and encounters first a leper and then a centurion. The center of God's people is shifting from Jerusalem, from the temple made with hands, to him who lays down his life and takes it up again. The boundaries of the old temple between Jews and Gentiles are dissolved in the person and work of Jesus Christ. They're dissolved in his crucified flesh. The Jewish leper conducts himself before Jesus as before God. He calls him Lord, Yahweh, who led the people out of Egypt, God himself come in flesh, and falls on his face to worship him. But the Gentile centurion also calls Jesus Lord. Having learned to love Israel and her God, building for them a synagogue, he humbles himself before Jesus. This man also goes to feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are now his kin. He calls Abraham father, for he's a child raised up from a stone. This is how it is for the sons of the kingdom. The things of this world don't satisfy. The leper wasn't content to remain in his leprosy, but called out to Jesus for mercy and is cleansed, body and soul. That's why you're here. You are not satisfied with what the world gives, but have come here to receive from Jesus' gracious hand cleansing and life, according to his mercy and grace. Those with only an outward connection to Abraham would discover that that wasn't enough. The distinctive thing about Abraham was in no way, shape, or form his great learning, or even in the outward circumcision. The distinctive thing about Abraham was his faith. He hoped and waited for the grace of God in the Messiah, for the forgiveness of sins and reconciliation to the Father. To be a son of Abraham is to be circumcised in the heart and washed in the blood of the Lamb. No one is worthy of this, and yet the kingdom is bestowed by grace upon the undeserving, or not at all. Those who think they're here by right, whether that's because they're baptized in the Missouri Synod, lifelong members of this congregation, served on the church council, or whatever else they think should impress God, they will be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping comes from sorrow. Gnashing of teeth comes from anger and rage. Those who insist on being judged and handled according to their own history and righteousness will be. They wanted to go their own way on this earth, to be their own lords, and they'll be given over precisely to what they desired. They'll spend eternity in their own sin in darkness. They will spend eternity in sorrow and in frustrated, debilitating anger, in weeping and gnashing of teeth. Anger might be easy to give in to, might even make you feel strong. And it just might be the most acceptable sin in our culture. But it is vanity. Jesus' command is to love your enemies. Yet you feel good, even if for a brief moment, and pounding your chest and talking about vengeance. Regardless of how you try to dress it up, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not yours. And if you take by force what is the Lord's, you will be damned. Do you not understand that the wrathful or angry man is just as much a slave to sin as the man overcome by drunkenness or lust? All sinful anger is tinged with self-righteousness, as though the injustices and slights you've suffered were cosmically significant, and the whole universe ought to stop and take notice on your behalf. It's all your pride and ego, how important you think yourself to be. And how dare someone not think as highly of you as you do yourself. To give in to your anger, though, is to gnash your teeth against God, to insist on your own way, and to demand your own vengeance. It only hurts yourself and those you love. Most importantly, it's dangerous to the health of your soul. Repent. The Holy Spirit moves you rather not to anger, but pity. Discipline your flesh. Pray for your neighbor. Cling to Jesus' holy cross and his righteousness. You cannot help or save yourself any more than the leper could cleanse himself or the servant heal himself. Rather than think God owes you something because of what you've done, he makes you a son and heir of his kingdom by virtue of Jesus Christ. He is the comfort for your fear and the relief from your anger. Consider again this good centurion. His strength is in virtue. He's strong in faith, hope, and love, along with patience, humility, and wisdom. What happens to his servant physically is an illustration of what had already happened to the centurion spiritually. Jesus worked physical healing and life in the servant from afar by his word. He'd done the same spiritually for the centurion. Unfit in a Levitical sense and unworthy in a moral sense, Jesus yet healed his soul with his word. He gave to him the place that is bestowed upon faith through grace, a place with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And this is quite explicit. He's healed, is reconciled, is loved by God. For that which dissolves the barriers of the old way is the holy cross of Jesus. It unites Jews and Gentiles in the confession of his name. It's the focal and dividing point of all history. It fulfills the promise made to Abraham and makes Gentiles sons by grace. It reveals fully and completely the love and glory of God for man and heals every ill of flesh and soul. By virtue of the cross, joy has come to the whole world. Is it any wonder, then, that the centurion's prayer has been taken up by the church as the traditional prayer before receiving the body of Jesus? You're not worthy or fit that Christ should enter into you. You're morally impure because of sin. You're ceremonially unclean because you're distracted, lacking in proper fasts and discipline, unprepared. But Jesus, who cleanses you by his blood, says, "Take, eat. This is my body." And so you do, at his command, as one under authority. Your soul is healed, not from afar, but near, by his word, joined to bread to be his body for you. You're joined to his death and resurrection. He gives you a place with Abraham by faith and makes you a partaker, a temple even, of the kingdom and the Spirit and the Christ. Jesus is the reason why things of this life don't satisfy. Jesus himself, his grace, his undeserved love, his mercy, is the miracle in Capernaum that day. He is the kingdom. He is the hope of Israel and the Savior of Gentiles lifted up upon the Holy Cross. He's the giver of faith and creator of Christians who pours out his blood to restore you to his Father. He heals you here, today, just as he cleansed the leper, and just as he healed the centurion and his servant. You too shall feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus makes you brothers, daughters, and brides, all in one glorious word. It is finished. Lord, we are not worthy that thou shouldest come under our roofs, but speak the word only, and at thy command, bread becometh for us thy body and wine thy blood. and our souls shall be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.